you could call it hyper-parenting. There's this phenomenon that parents really have no sense of boundaries, Fred. They don't have a sense that there's ever enough that they can do.
Well, then that's absolutely true, and that's a good lead-in for Dr. Rosenfeld. As I say, he's probably, in my opinion, the best expert in America in this whole area, and that's why he wrote the book about hyper-parenting. And so we'll hear some interesting things when he comes on.
What are some of the examples, Dr. Jacobs, when you have seen kids come to you that have developed a neurosis? They developed a confusion in terms of what's important to the point where it's actually affecting their mental and physical health.
Well, the main thing that I see with a lot of kids is I have a lot of kids who are high performers. They're honor roll students. They're top-notch athletes at high school and in college. But the predominating common factor for all of them seems to be a fear of not pleasing their parents or their coaches. And it stems from, I think, when they're younger, about wanting to please mom or dad. And oftentimes, if mom or dad is their coach in the youth sports league, that pressure gets even greater because they feel they have to be toeing the line with everything they do. Their behavior has to be right. They have to be the best player on the team. They have to be the best behaved. And I think there develops a fear out of these kids that if they're not perfect, at least in how their parents view them, then they're screwing up, and it can develop a lot of anxieties for them.
Well, but the problem with saying that you're going to set down your own limits and you're going to have that one day a week that you have a dinner together, the problem is then the coach says, fine, you're off the team because everybody has to be subject to the same rules.
Well, you're right, but that is a big problem. But I think you have to sit down and decide. You can schedule around practices. You can schedule around games. But I think as a family, if you really want to keep that family unit intact, you can find a time during. There isn't a practice 7 nights a week. But if you're involved in 3 or 4 activities, there's probably something going on every night. You just have to balance out and schedule around. And it can be done, Nick. But it's about communication and it's about coordination. And I think it's about setting parameters. I think anybody who has their kids in more than 3 activities, and Fred, what do you think about this? I think 3 activities is more than enough for a middle school or younger kid to be involved with at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, the thing that I always say about sports is with parents, are these kids really wanting to get into that particular activity, or are they being forced because of what you said before, that Billy down the street's playing softball and soccer and whatever else there, and art and music and drama, so I better get my kids involved in all of that also? Because in reality, you know, you see all these shows and whatnot, the parents are out there living in neighborhoods and whatnot, and they compare themselves to who is next door and their kids and what they're doing for themselves. They don't want to look like they're not doing enough for their kids, and they force them into these things, and that's where it's really bad.
Well, you're exactly right.
We're joined by Dr. Alvin Rosenfeld, who was on the Today Show talking about his book, The Overscheduled Child, Avoiding the Hyper-Parenting Trap. Dr. Rosenfeld, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Oh, thank you for having me here today.
Well, you're a psychiatrist. You look at the statistics. One poll, 86% of parents believe their kids are overscheduled. Kids have 100% more scheduled activities than 20 years ago, 50% fewer unscheduled activities, far fewer family meals like we just talked about. Is there any way out of this?
Oh, I think there are a lot of ways out. Look at much of the media, what's said to be important. They're winning the awards and getting up at that award ceremony. In my understanding and seeing patients in the studies I read, what really matters in making a life good or bad are two things. One is the relationships, and two is the capacity for real play. And those are the two things that we're really doing away with, we're ignoring.